I want you to look around. Some people are here. We're still dealing with sickness. If you try to go to Walmart and buy stuff for colds, you can hardly find it anymore because everybody's got it. There's all kinds of flus going around. There's people today, DC's in training, fire training, and there's others that have gone to do school functions, but still there's others that are sick. Please look around. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to call. I want everybody in here, look around and find at least two people that's not here that's normally here. Here's what I want you to do. Call them and tell them that you love them and you miss them. That's it. Hear me? That's it. We love you and we miss you. That's it. Okay? And watch what God will do. God is so awesome. A condemned prisoner, you're going to figure out what I'm going to talk about today when you hear this. A condemned prisoner was awaiting execution, and he was granted the usual privilege of choosing the dishes that he wanted to eat for his last meal, and he ordered a large mess of mushrooms. "Wild the mushrooms and nothing else," inquired the guard. "Well," replied the prisoner, "I always wanted to try them, but up until now, I was afraid to eat them." I know. I was trying to find something that was going to kind of go with today, what we're talking about today. We're talking about getting over it. You know, how many would love just to get over fear in your life? People will say things like, "I'm not afraid," but then here's what I see is, and I try not to say it, is they go, "I'm afraid I can't do that. I'm afraid this will happen. I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid." And they just go on and on and on about, "I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid." And you know what? Fear plays a big part in everybody's life. Fear comes in different levels. There's some things that we will take on like a tiger. There's other things that we will back away like it is the toughest thing we've ever had to do. And sometimes what we take on like a tiger doesn't require that much energy, and what doesn't require as much energy we're putting there. And other things requires our energy, but we don't feel like we got it to spend. So again, fear is a very powerful force. And remember, there's plenty of words for fear and there's plenty of words for faith in the Greek and the Hebrew. But my favorite two in the Greek and the Hebrew, in the Greek for fear, faith is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis, that's faith. And fear, whenever you want to take a word in the Greek and you want to make it the exact opposite, you put an A in front of it. So fear is apistis. Faith is pistis, fear is apistis. And that's one of the words for fear, but I'm telling you, one of the greatest weapons Satan will use in your life is fear. You know, again, you talk to people and you hear them say, "Well, I'm afraid I can't do that. Can we do this Saturday? I'm afraid that we're not going to be able to." And I have actually tried my best to quit saying I'm afraid of anything. I just like to say that's going to be difficult or I'm concerned, but I quit saying I'm afraid, because when you do that, you activate something within you that shuts down your faith. Listen carefully. God has designed us in such a way. Remember, what we say not only affects other people, what we say affects ourselves too. And if you walk around saying, "I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid," what you do is literally you shut down faith in your life. So now, tomorrow, today, when you do whatever you're going to do, try to quit saying, "I'm afraid," and start saying, "Look, that concerns me. That may be difficult." We quit saying afraid, because remember, when you start talking apistis, you shut down pistis in your life. How many would enjoy shooting ourselves and our own self in the foot constantly? We don't enjoy it, do we? Although a lot of us do that. I do it too. Lord knows. My mouth is so big I can stick both my feet in at the same time and still have room to eat a bowl of cereal. Amen. But here, how to get over not being able to get over. How to get over not being able to get over. Stand for the reading of the word. 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1. I can promise you that whether I'm doing a formal counseling session, or I'm doing one on the run, or I'm doing a drive-by counseling session, or when I say drive-by, I run into somebody at Walmart, I run into somebody at the grocery store, somebody calls me up and says, have you got a few minutes? I can guarantee you this is probably one of the most quoted scriptures that I use in counseling. It is definitely one of the most powerful scriptures I use in life coaching. There is a difference. Counseling deals more like with the past and brings you to the present. Coaching takes you from the past and takes you all the way through the future. Counseling, the person is dealing with, you're letting the person handle what's happened, and coaching, you're putting them into another league. And so there is a difference. Amen? But either way about it, this is one of the most powerful scriptures, and here it is. 2 Timothy 1 and 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Stir up the gift of God. Let me just stop there for fire. Back in the old days when we had fireplaces, a lot of people had bellows, and sometimes my grandma would just take a magazine or the newspaper, and she'd start something, and if the embers were going down, she'd take that magazine or that newspaper, and she'd fire up those embers. And she fired up those embers, and granddaddy put another log of wood, and then she'd fire up those embers, or he would fire up those embers, and once he did, he would fire them up until the flame caught. And once the flame caught, he backed up and let the flame do his job. That's stirring up. And God expects all of us to stir up our own gift within us. Don't wait for somebody else to do it yourself. All right? I remind you, stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Y'all say this with me. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Wow. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you are so awesome. There's nothing beyond you. God, you see all, you know all. Father, you're able to touch in such a way. I ask you to touch us today, guide us today in this service, help everybody get what they need from you today to step forth and stir up that gift that is within them to relight the embers that are dying out. I ask you right now to do that, Lord. I ask you also, Lord, to be with the Morgan family today, Lord, as they bury their child. I ask you to be there and be with us when we do that too, God, that you're a powerful God. You're an almighty God, and you've got this too. Bring them comfort and hope. And there's another family that is suffering something similar. Touch that family right now in the name of Jesus. We know you got this, and we ask you, Lord, for your help and your guidance in the name of Jesus. We pray in the church. Said, amen. You can be seated on the way down and tell somebody, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, hopefully, I'm not going to keep you too long. Please do remember the Morgan family. They're burying Alicia today. It's at 2 o'clock in Shakopee at Union Chapel Church. I'm going to be participating in that service, and it's just a tragic. I don't know of any death that's not tragic. But just sometimes others, the situation just makes it that much more tragic, and they need God's touch in their life, and also this other family that's had something similar. But this time, one, the children got killed, the other, the children didn't get killed. So again, please, let's remember this. This is, again, signs of the times. Okay, and you're going to see more of this. People can't stand the pressure that the world's under right now. The world's under so much pressure. And people don't understand that this oppression is a satanic oppression. And as he's oppressing it, he's actually, you could say, he's pressing. And as he's pressing, the people can't take that pressure being pushed on them and pushed on them and pushed on them. And so they react in a way that is counterintuitive to their own self. And they do things that honestly you say, why in the world would they do that? But if somebody gets pushed in a corner hard enough, if they get pressed hard enough, you never know what somebody will do. Okay, so we just got to be praying and keep your eyes open. You see something like that, you think even think something like that, don't be afraid to step in. You don't have to step in personally and get in their business. But if you see something you think is that drastic, then you need to call somebody to get them some help. I tell the guys at Pitt Detention Center all the time, after we do our stuff, I take them back in the room and counsel them, and I tell them all, you know, whatever we say, they even told them this. The coordinator said, whatever you tell Pastor Linton will not be used against you in court. It will not be used against you by the law. The sheriff's not sending him in to get information out of it. Because I wear a badge and think I'm in there trying to get information to feed the sheriff. And so we told him that's not it. But I did tell him this, if it's going to cause harm to you or somebody else, I'm going to have to tell it. And so they say, okay. I said, and I've even had him say, this ain't going to hurt anybody, but I need to tell you. I say, okay, be careful how you tell me. Okay. So here we go. Keep your eyes open. If you see somebody that normally acts one way and all of a sudden they're starting to act another way and it's getting worse and worse, please tell somebody. Okay? So now, let me ask you a question. Read that question. Have you ever felt inadequate? Yeah, I feel inadequate. Seems like every day there's something coming, something happens, and you just feel like, oh, God, I feel so inadequate. How in the world? You know, Timothy was the picture of this. Timothy was Paul's right-hand man, or one of his right-hand men, and Timothy was called to be a bishop. Timothy was called to lead a lot of people, and Timothy actually, when this challenge was sent to him, he started feeling insufficient. He felt ill-equipped. And he felt less than. I want you to listen carefully. Today, I'm not even sure how long we're going to go. We might even go the whole way. We may just stop. I have no idea. But I believe with all my heart that somebody can relate to that. You see, Paul himself was experiencing his own troubles. Paul was facing death many times, facing perils. He was being beat. He was being pushed. He was having all kinds of things. But he took time to encourage Timothy. Timothy, although he was called to a great service for God, Timothy was having a crisis of faith. Let me let it sink in a little bit. Timothy knew God. Timothy was raised by godly people. Timothy knew Paul. I mean, that's like knowing the Pope. He was one of Paul's right-hand men. But he was suffering a spiritual crisis. He was suffering a crisis of faith. Matter of fact, if you look at the Greek, he was actually suffering from spiritual inferiority. Although all this was placed before him, he was beginning to shrink back because people were looking at him and said, you're too young. You've not had enough of this. You have not had enough of that. Whatever. Here's what Timothy was hearing. Let me ask a question. How many in here, you can raise your hand or you don't. If you raise your hand, you'll help the other ones that think they're the only ones. How many in here have heard that? How many has heard it lately? How many have told your own self that? Wow. So if you look around, you'll see that you're actually in good company. You're not the only one. But it's a constant thing that we hear. You're not good enough. You can't handle what's coming. You see, just like Timothy, we're called to tremendous challenges. And it's easy to feel insufficient. It's easy to feel ill-equipped. It's easy to feel less than. I just came through 4 years of just pure good. Lord, have mercy. You know, psychology, 30 hours of psych and sociology, and plus all the counseling classes and all this. And the more I learned, to be honest with you, the more I learned, the less sufficient I felt. And I thought about it, and I said, you know what? Before I went to school, I had a lot more confidence than after going to school. And they even one of the professors even told us, said, you're going to be feeling less than, but the reason you're feeling less than is because Satan doesn't want you to use what you're learning. Don't give in to it. You take what God's given you, and when the time is right, it will come to you. And that's what I'm going to tell y'all today. Your life has been a series of events. It's been a series of lessons. Some have been good lessons. Some have been hard lessons. Some you've enjoyed. Some you have not enjoyed. But in all of this, there's times, especially when the world beats you really hard, when you have no answers. I stood before that family. I was in Greensboro on Tuesday with my dad getting his hip. And Linda's texted me about what had happened, but I didn't know who it was. I found out that night who we thought it was. And the next morning when I got up, I had already had a call waiting. Can I please go minister to this family? And then I found out who it was. I've known this family for over 40 years. And when I stood before them, and when they say, why? You feel ill-equipped? You feel insufficient? You feel less than, because all you can say is, I don't know. That's to the extreme. But every day, things come. And one of the people in there said, well, you know, the Lord said he won't allow more to come on you than you can handle. I said, brother, can I just kind of change that around a little bit? He said, sure, go ahead. And I said, no, God will allow many things to come into your heart, to come into your life that you can't handle. But he does that so you'll lean on him and trust him. You're not doing it yourself now. You're doing it on him. See, we all have those tendencies to feel this way. There's moments, just fleeting moments. And sometimes there's even seasons that we feel like this. You ain't got to raise your hand right now, but how many times you felt like that? I'm not talking about the big man. I'm talking about the little man. Literally, that's about how it was for David and Goliath. David was about 5 foot tall. Goliath was about 11 foot tall. So he was double his size. Can you imagine living life like that every day? Some of you can, because you do that every day. What's the signs of spiritual inferiority? What's the signs of a spiritual inferiority complex? Let me just stop for a minute and park right here. How can you tell that you're insecure? First, we're going to talk about relationships. Your first relationship with God. How can you tell that you're insecure with your relationship with God? First, you doubt his word. You doubt his salvation. You're consumed by guilt. Do not raise your hands. How often do you feel that way? Remember, you can't stop a bird from landing on your head, but you can prevent it from building a nest. How often does that bird land on your head? Is it a moment? Is it a season? But no matter what God's word tells you, no matter how many times somebody tells you it's going to be okay, no matter how many times you read it, you doubt his word, you doubt his salvation, and you stay consumed by guilt. Do not raise your hand. Then you're insecure in your relationship with your own self because of this. You doubt that you can be loved by God. You doubt that you can be loved by others. You just feel unlovable. You doubt you can even be used by God. Do not raise your hand. This can be a fleeting thing. Every last one of us in here, these all can be fleeting. When I say fleeting, it's a momentary thing. You may have just got hit below the belt, and it could be for moments, it could be for hours, it could be for days. You may feel this way, but eventually you'll pop out of it. But once you get that inferiority complex going, now you're not just popping out of it. It's there. It's locking you down. It's squeezing you. It's like an anaconda. It's squeezing you. A python is squeezing you and just tearing you all to pieces. In the Bible, there's one of the spots where it talks about the spirit of Python, where Satan just grabs you and squeezes you and just pulls you into a spot where you can't even breathe. Right now while I'm talking, and nobody raised their hands whatsoever now, while I'm talking, you may even find it kind of hard to breathe as I started speaking that. And then, insecure with your relationship with others. All there is now is a blame game going on. Well, if they hadn't done this, I wouldn't be this way. Or if I hadn't done this, they wouldn't be this way. Well, what if, shoulda, coulda, woulda. And the blame game just gets going. And you begin to compare yourself to others. It prevents you from being effective for God. It stifles you. You're out on the aircraft carrier ready to go to war with Satan, and you're stuck in your jet and you have no fuel. You're just sitting there watching everybody else going to battle, and you're sitting there wondering, why am I not doing anything? Because Satan has taken the life out of you. You say, well, I'm a child of God. How in the world can this happen? It happens to people all over the place every day. Timothy, who wound up being one of the most powerful people in the church, was not going through this for a moment. He was going through this for a season. He was feeling so bad, he was ready just to give up on God. Forgive him what God wanted him to do, because he was insecure in all three areas. So Paul comes along and begins to talk to him. The very first thing he says is, God has not given you a spirit of fear. That word fear there is timidity. That word for fear there is inferiority. We don't have second and third place kids in God's house. We're all number one. We all sit at the table the same. We may not have the same job, we may not have the same calling. But there's one thing we do all have, and that is the same salvation. God may have never called you to say, I couldn't talk in front of people. Well, maybe not. That might not be your calling. Maybe your calling is to work behind the scenes. That's fine, too. This is different. God's not given us a spirit of fear, timidity, inferiority, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Remember what I told you, that when you let fear start filtering into your life, it immediately, no ifs, ands, or buts, when fear begins to filter through your mind, when fear begins to filter through your spirit, when fear begins to filter through your emotions, it will automatically, without exception, begin to pilfer away at your faith. And as it pilfers away at your faith, fear grows and faith begins to diminish. And here's what happens. Remember, pistis, apistis. Inferiority is the opposite. God's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. But inferiority gives us a weak spirit. We become self-centered. We become confused. I'm going to throw another one out there. This is not necessarily the jump and shouting service, but good Lord, this is meat and potatoes. This is no beanie weenies, I can promise you. You say, how can you call it self-centered? We got that. Just checking everybody's pulse and blood pressure. If you're still living, you're doing good. I know now I've got to tell it, because look, if I was getting ready to tell it, all hell broke loose. Self-centeredness in spiritual inferiority is masqueraded as a false meekness. What's a false meekness? Well, I'm going to be shy and I'm going to be down here and I'm going to be, you know, I'm not going to get involved because I can't. And once you start going, I can't, guess what happens? Satan wins because self-centeredness takes over. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Let's just keep it a little further. We're getting a look. No more lies. Somebody said no more lies. Somebody else said no more lies. All right, get ready. This is good stuff, isn't it? Okay, I hope so. I'm afraid it might not be. I'm playing. How do I step beyond it? Realize that fear is from Satan. Not only is it from Satan, it's based on lies. Fear is a choice, and I don't have to accept it. I remember one night we had somebody, I won't mention who he is, some of y'all won't even know who I'm even talking about. One night, this was years ago, probably 10 years ago, we had a guy wanting to go with us to Pitt Detention Center. The guys told me, said, don't you do like you do us and talk about people losing their fingers, being bit off and being stabbed and all that. You just cut the guy some slack. So we're riding the van up there, and all of a sudden those guys started talking. I can hear it now, Benny going, you hear about the guy lost his finger, and hear Brandon talking about, yeah, and the guy got stabbed. I mean, by the time they got through talking about it, that poor guy's eyes were that big around. And he said, you're scaring me to death. I hope you know that. And when we got in, I can't remember, I think he went with Frank. I'm not sure. He goes back in the back. We scared that guy so bad. Not only did he stop, not want to go back to the prison ministry, he ain't seen him, period. Church nowhere. Scared the Jehebies out of him. Yeah, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about. Somebody asked me the other day, said, I was stopped and I was at a restaurant. I just left a halfway house, ministering to some guys in a halfway house. on Sunday afternoon, I come by and stopped at Captain D's, and there was two ministers, one in front of me and one behind me, and I was just cutting up with them. I said, well, from the looks of things, y'all are ministers, right? And one guy had that big white collar on him. He said, why give it away? Yeah. And I said, well, I'm in a good spot. Y'all guys are bigger than me. I'm in a good spot if lightning strikes. I'm between two preachers. Now I thought about the thing. I said, I might be in the wrong spot. And one of the guys said, you know, you ever heard of Pitt Detention Center? I said, yeah, I heard of it a few times. And he said, I had somebody try to get me to go there one day. He said, and I went in there. And he said, when they opened that first door, he said, I walked in and they closed that door. He said, then they opened up the other door and I went in and I went in and they shut that other door. He said, it was like 50 guys sitting there looking like I was a hamburger and they were hungry. He said, I looked around for the guards and there were none. And he turned around and went, let me out. He said, how do you? I said, yeah, I go there. I've experienced that same feeling. He said, well, why didn't you get out? I said, because I realized that fear came from Satan. I realized also it was a lie. Those guys weren't looking for me to eat me as meat. They were looking for somebody to lift them up and help them see the light. They were hurting. And I said, also, I know it's a lie from Satan, and it's a choice. And the choice is I don't have to accept it. And so, yeah, I go behind those doors, and every time those doors shut behind me, every time I feel something inside of me. But every time I say, lay down, get out of here, I'm not going to put in for it. God's got this. So let me just put this little, let me look, look. You can choose faith in God, His ability to handle what you're going through, including your past, your present, and your future, your problems, and your giants. Let's just take this a little bit deeper. I'm taking my time. Look, stop letting fear rule your life. Wow, look at somebody and say that to them. Now take your own finger and stick it to yourself and say, stop letting fear rule my life. All right, we're going to do what we just said, how we step beyond. Watch this, watch. We're going to do a little different time. We're going to do an acrostic. Realize we're going to spell fear. F is from Satan. E is established on lies. A always comes with a choice. R, refuse to accept it. Have faith in God for His ability to handle my past, my present, my future, my problems, my giants. Now, here we go. I'm going to go ahead and I'm not going to leave you here in this spot. You're going to say, well, good Lord, if you stop here, I'm going to go home defeated. No, you're not. Ready? Fear ends where faith begins. Fear ends where faith begins. There's a three-step process that can help you get back in the game. There's a three-step process, and I do this all the time with folks. Three steps. Number one, know the God who you serve. He knows you and He knows your circumstances better than you do. Did you know that? He's not up in heaven walking around sucking on a bottle of Maalox saying, what am I going to do now? He's done it again. Now what am I going to do? Oh, Lord. He wouldn't say, oh, Lord, He is Lord. He's going to say, what am I going to do now? Look at Him. He said He wasn't going to do it again. He did it again. What am I going to do with that guy? Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I'll do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of the land. And God spake unto Moses, said unto him, I am the Lord Jehovah, the self-existent one. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've got a God that he does not lay down to Satan. He can't be fooled by Satan. He knows what's going on. He's heard you say, I'm not going to do it again 1,000 times and do it again, and still loves you. Still called you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter where you go in the future, God took all of that in account when He called you. Took every last thing. And what He wants to do is take all, even your detours and your mistakes, your sins, He wants to take them all and use them to His advantage for you to help others. So don't think you've gone too far, that you've done too much. God's got this. Know the God we serve. He already knows. And He says, I call you anyway. Wow. Number two. Ready? Know who you are in the God you serve. Wow. Focus on God, not the enemy. Psalm 139:14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. It's one thing I have learned. I see other people and say, well, Lord, if I could just be a little taller, if I could just sing a little better, if I could play a little better, if I could remember a little better, if I had all this other stuff that person's got, you know, we get so caught up on everybody else, we don't realize that we are unique. There's only one of me. My mama said, praise God for that. She said, son, it's only by the grace of God I had three more children after you. There's only one of you. Look at somebody and tell them, there's only one of me. You are uniquely, fearfully, wonderfully made. God made you, and He, listen, He knows every blemish. He knows every bump. He knows everything that's wrong with you, but He still says, you're my child. I love you, and I got work for you to do. God loves us just like we are. Wow. Let Him do the changing. Amen? So watch this. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Wow. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, me, that He gave His only begotten Son, to whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Y'all read that. Somebody read it out loud. Everybody read it out loud then. Read that again out loud. Whoa. How many believe that? How many? This is the first time you ever heard that. I love it. I said, how many believe it? How many is the first time you heard that? Maybe you might have heard it that way, but guess what? God's been telling you, I'm bigger. I'm bigger than your past. I'm bigger than your pain. I'm bigger than your hate. I'm bigger than your anger. I'm bigger than your fear. I'm bigger than your scars. I'm bigger than this world. I am God, and I am God alone. Praise God. God's got this. I went into council with one of the guys in B5 Friday morning, and this guy had been moved to another county. I weren't there last time I went in. I only go in twice a week. And so I come in on Monday. He weren't there. They had him taken somewhere, some other county, to get in his case. And I come back on Friday, and he says, can I go back in the room and counsel with you? I said, sure. And I go back there, and the very first thing he says is, he says, you got another one of these? And I said, I just gave you one. Where'd it go? He said, when I was in another county, I was in lockup with another guy. And he said this other guy was really upset because he was going through all this, and he found out his mama had cancer, and said he was really struggling, and he said he just wished God would send somebody his way to help him out. And he goes, he said, see this Team Bethany? He said, there's a girl named Bethany Linton, said she got in all kinds of trouble, and when she was getting out, she wound up in camp with cancer. And he said, but her favorite saying was, God's got this. And he says, I know that you're going through a lot of pain right now with your mama and the stuff you're going through, but you not know God's got this. He says, can I have that? He said, sure, I know the guy that gives them out. I can get me another one. Step three, know the enemy of the God you serve. Remember, he's powerful, but he's not all-powerful. Amen? Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. At least Satan should get an advantage over us. We are not ignorant of his devices. Revelation 12 and 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. I'm getting ready to close. How many remember that breathing exercise I taught you? Use it all the time. I teach it to people everywhere I go, especially at Pitt Detention Center. It helps center those guys, especially when they're getting ready to get called out for their trial. They don't know where they're going, or they just got intimidated by some of the other prisoners and they're just having a hard time, or they're not sure how things are going to work out. And I'll tell them, stop and breathe. And as I tell them that, teach them that breathing exercise, I was thinking about that breathing exercise. I've told about 5 people in the last couple of days about breathing, especially with all the things that's been going on, the breathing exercise. And then I run across this. Let's do the breathing exercise and watch this. How many want to be able to hear from God better? How many want to be able to hear what he's talking to you? You want to hear him when he's whispering. But it's still a small voice. A lot of times he's talking, but we're not listening because we're not in a position to hear. We're too full of anxiety. We're too full of doubt. We're too full of depression. But when we start breathing, what happens is because God, look, the Holy Spirit is what? He's pneuma. He's breath. So watch this. We're going to breathe in courage, and we're going to exhale fear. Ready? Together. Remember on 5. Y'all do this with me. One more time. You say, I don't need some psychological mumbo jumbo. That's not psychological mumbo jumbo. That's very spiritual. When you breathe in courage. When you exhale that fear. Y'all guys, get ready to play something. Philippians 4:13. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength in me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Doesn't mean I'm self-sufficient. It means I can do what I need to do as long as I'm in Christ. How many's ever been really, really sick and they give you an IV and all of a sudden you start feeling better? Or I call it a bottled IV. You're really, really tired and you get a Gatorade. You got a flu or something. You got a high fever. You drink a Gatorade and you start feeling better. You know why? Because that's infusing inner strength in you. It's putting back in electrolytes and the nutrients that you have sweated out because of the fever. It puts it back in you. When people go to a scene of an accident, they're bleeding, they give them an IV because they need their blood picked back up. Right now, everybody stand. Everybody stand. There's some folks in here right now. I have no idea who you are, but I really believe God instructed me to do this. There's some of you in here right now that you're having a crisis of faith. Inferiority is eating you alive. You're getting weaker and weaker because fear is beginning to come in and zap faith. You may even be even wondering, how much longer can I hold on the way I'm going? God wants to give you that IV right now. He wants to give you strength that only comes from Him. Just like the IV, when your body is starting to drain of its fluids, the IV begins to give you fluid again. When you've had the flu and you drink that Gatorade and it starts to build back up that body, that Gatorade is like almost like an instant change. Right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, it's time to get real again. Nobody looking, nobody sees but me. Would you start the process of the IV by first acknowledging it? Would you say, Pastor, I feel like I'm on spiritual life support? You may or may not be at that crisis of faith right now. You may or may not be in a full-blown spiritual inferiority complex. But that moment that you've gone through has now become a season. And that season just seems to have no end. And you really need God to infuse you once again with that dunamis, with that ability, with the stuff that only comes from God that's able to push down the fear, drive it away so that faith can be built back up. Nobody looking around, every eye closed. If I'm talking to you right now, would you put up that hand and say, I really could. I really could use that right now. I really need that. Lord bless them. Lord bless them. You may be here today and you're just entering that season, or you're in that moment, but you weren't expecting it and it hit you hard, and now you're trying to rebound. And as you're trying to rebound from that moment, that strong, powerful moment, you're trying to tell yourself, God's got this. But then you ask yourself, do I really believe that? Because look at what happened and look at it keeps coming. So that moment has been such a strong, strong moment. But nobody looking around, every eye closed. Would you just put that hand up? I'm not into crisis, but I've been hit hard and I'm trying to bounce back, and it's tough. It's tough. Bless them, Lord. Now I want you to, everybody, put up both hands. Both of them. Everybody. I want you to repeat after me. Father, I need a spiritual infusion. I lift my hands to you right now. I believe that I did not come here by accident, but this is my day. It's time for the season to end. It's time for me to excel in you again. It's not by sight. It's not by feeling, but by faith. With my hands raised, I accept and I long for a very powerful touch right now. A touch of dunamis that can only come from you. And I take it from you, Lord, as a gift in the name of Jesus. Now just stop for just a second. Just breathe it in. Breathe it in. Breathe in courage. Exhale fear. Breathe in courage. Exhale fear. Let God do what He wants to do in your life. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we accept. We accept the dunamis. We accept that fresh breath. We accept healing. We accept emotional and spiritual breakthrough. We accept it, Lord. We accept it. We accept it. Thank you, Father. Start thanking Him, church. Start thanking Him. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Glory! Glory! Thank you, Father. Glory! Glory! Yes! Look at somebody and say, God's got this. Yes, glory. And don't forget, Tuesday starts our classes on caregiving. Your job may require you to be a caregiver. Somebody in your family may require you to be a caregiver. Somebody close to you may require you at one moment or another to be a caregiver. Whether it is a temporary thing, whether it is a unending, unceasing thing. I promise you that you will feel some relief.